What's up, guys? So I'm a little sick today, so if I sound more nasally than normal, sorry. It's what you got. It's what I got, too. So here is where we're going tonight. This stanza in the Lord's Prayer, this part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, there's so much that's in this section. I think this section is maybe one of the most, I don't know. I feel this way every time I teach on part of the Lord's Prayer, because I feel like every part is like the best, or every part is like the deepest. But I think in some ways this is almost like, it's almost like a riddle. It's like something that Jesus gives you, and he's like, hey, pray this thing. And there's a way to pray this, like just as soon as you receive it. You're like, okay, God, bring your kingdom and bring your will. And the way it's done in heaven, bring it to earth. Right? There's a way to pray it, but I think that this is like, the more we understand this and the more we pray this, the more we think about it, the more that all of it kind of points back to itself in this really cool way. And so here's what I want to do. I don't really have any fancy introduction. I just want to talk about four things that this prayer is. The first is that it's a prayer of rebellion. In this really cool way, this is like a prayer that you pray if you're someone who's like in rebellion against the status quo of this world. It's a prayer of rebellion, but it's also a prayer of submission and maybe some ways that other prayers that we normally pray wouldn't be. So it's a prayer of rebellion, it's a prayer of submission, it's a prayer of preparation, and it's a prayer of expectation. So this first thing, a prayer of rebellion. I want you to think about what it means to pray this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Think about that line. Your kingdom come, you're standing here today in this kingdom, this world, and you're proclaiming out loud to the cosmos, right? To God himself, to your Father, to the world. You're saying, I want God's kingdom to come here. I want his rule and his reign to be done here. I want heaven to come to earth, right? What do you think of when you normally think of prayer? Like, I just want you to think of that. Just in your head, just think, man, what do you think about when the word prayer comes to mind? What is it? What is it? What are people like who pray a lot? What is prayer? One of the things that I started thinking about a lot this week was when I started thinking, what is prayer? I started thinking 1992, okay? And that wasn't like when I was 3 years old, I like learned how to pray. That's not what that was. No. This is when the band Rage Against Machine dropped their first album of that title, okay? Does anyone listen to Rage Against Machine? Anyone? Anyone at all? Okay, a couple people. Yeah, a few people. So there's a few people who are like, yeah, finally, I was wondering when this was going to come up in church, you know? Surprise. So anyway, So here's this band, Rage Against the Machine, okay? And, you know, I listened to this a lot in the 90s. This was like, I skated, and so this was like what you had to listen to Rage. And so this is an interesting band because basically it's a bunch of dudes and guitars and rock who are basically like raising a fist against all the powers that be, right? Like if you listen to any of their songs, right? Like one, if you're trying to be like a good Christian, you're like, well, I don't want to listen to curse words, so I'm gonna like listen to clean version. Like you're not gonna get much, right? It's pretty intense stuff, right? And they're just like basically raising a fist of defiance, and sometimes that fist has a finger attached to it. And basically they're just like, F the man, right? Like the system, all politics, powers, the elites, like all this system of oppression and injustice, like screw this, let's overthrow this thing, right? That's Rage Against the Machine, that's what they're about. And their music sounds like they're about to do that, right? And so like they play in LA and then afterwards there's a riot, right? And then they go and they play on the streets of like the steps of Wall Street. I mean, it's just like a really intense band. And I was thinking about that and you know, we actually thought about playing a clip of them and like literally bring stuff and like smashing on stage, and then Mark was like, don't do that. And I was like, yeah, it's a good idea. But here's why prayer made me think about that. Because if you go to a Rage Against the Machine show, okay, first of all, you're probably gonna get hit in the face and you'll be like, why am I here? This is crazy. But there's like this passion and anger and rage that's going on at their shows, right? Like they're angry about something. They're really serious about something. And they're yelling in your face about something. And like apathy isn't a thing at their shows, right? It's like, no, you're either with us or you're against us. Like no apathy, no more just kind of falling in line and becoming part of this problem. Like we are all gonna be people who are gonna stand up against this machine, right? Rage against the machine. By the way, this is really funny. I figured out today, what is the machine they're raging against? Take a guess. What is it? Like Republicans or, you know, like Trump or like, you know, politics or no. It is their 1979 Chevrolet van, all right? I'm dead serious. This is where they got their band name. They had this van, they would drive around, be in this van, and like this thing would always break down. So they always been the side of the road, always trying to fix this thing. They'd always miss gigs. Like, so this was just like the bane of their existence. And so they finally made enough money, they bought a new van, and they brought this thing into a field and just took sledgehammers to it and just raged on this van and destroyed it. And that's how they got their name, Rage Against the Machine, which is the van, okay? I just think that's very funny. I don't know. It has nothing to do with politics. It's just they hate their van. And that's their origin story. But anyway, okay. Why am I talking about all this? Because I think that most Christians think about prayer in a really simple, inaccurate kind of way. Okay? I think you should view prayer more like a war cry than just about anything else. Okay? Prayer is this assault on the powers that be of the world. Prayer isn't a nice, quiet, like good boy, good girl thing that you do in the quiet of your room. Prayer is a disruption. It's a megaphone directed against the powers of this world, and it's a cry of loyalty to the one who's come to overthrow those powers and bring justice. Prayer is rebellion. It's subversion. It is treason against this world and its leadership. Prayer is raging against the world as it is. It's rebellion against the world and its fallenness. Prayer is the absolute and undying refusal to call normal things that are absolutely not normal. Things like greed and death and depression. Things that are normal parts of this world. People who pray, they say, no. No, I hate that part of the world. And I want it to change. This is what this part of the Lord's Prayer is about. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus didn't just give us the Lord's Prayer as some kind of, as something, you know, like, hey, pray this prayer, and what this will do is it'll kind of quiet us down and it'll box us in to be really good Christians like we're supposed to be. No, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer as like an anthem that proclaims our loyalty to a different world and a different king. It's the anthem of people who are sick and tired of the world as it is. People who are tired of seeing the injustice and oppression that fills our world. People who are tired of the systems and the powers and the authorities that have ravaged our land. It's the anthem of people who have joined forces with an incoming king and have joined in his subversion and overthrow of the powers that are over us. That's what prayer is. It's a rebellion against the status quo. And it isn't just rebellion, it's treason. It's treason. Here's what I mean, okay? Here's an example, all right? Someone lives in America, right? And in America, there's certain rules, there's ways of life, there's kind of an American thing, right? We have the Constitution, we got some documents, right? And this person, they don't like America, right? They don't want the rules, they don't like the freedoms. In their heart of hearts, they're really Russian, okay? That's what they are. They don't have the American flag tattooed on their arm. They've got like Putin's face, right? Is that a problem? Well, no, not really. Why? Well, because that person could just move to Russia. It's not that big of a deal, right? You don't like barbecue, you like borscht. Like, whatever, like, that's your loss, okay? But here's the thing, like, that isn't treason. That's just someone who loves Russia and wants to live in Russia, fine. But what if that person did everything they could to try to sabotage all that makes America, America. What if that person started printing propaganda and kind of going out and having these influential conversations, trying to influence people of power to try to bring Russian authority and Russian values and Russian ways of life over to America? That's different, right? That gets you thrown in prison. And what Jesus is saying is, he goes, that's kind of what you're doing as a Christian. It isn't just rebellion, it's treason. Because we're not people who are waiting to leave this world and go to heaven. We are people who have joined in the movement and uprising of Jesus bringing heaven down to earth. That's what our lives are supposed to be about, right? We're not praying, Jesus, take me out of this messed up, broken world. No, Jesus doesn't tell you to say that. Like, do you see that's not what happens? He doesn't say, God, let me come to your kingdom and let me leave heaven and go to earth. He says, no, God, bring your kingdom down here. Would the things that happen in heaven, would those be the kinds of things that start happening here in this world, in Iowa City? Everything about our lives is supposed to be part of this, right? The way we spend our money, the way we talk about people around us, the clothes that we wear, the things that we look at with our eyes, the relationships we pursue, the things that we drink or the way that we drink them, everything about our lives is supposed to be part of this uprising, right? We are bringing the values and the ways of heaven to earth in our lives, in our sphere of existence. This prayer is an act of treason against this world and its powers, because when you're praying for God's kingdom to come, you are praying against all that this world stands for. Because the values of Jesus' kingdom are the opposite of the world's at every single turn, right? Jesus says this all the time. He says, you can't love the world or the things of the world. He says, don't do that. Don't love the world or the things of the world, because someone who loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in them. And you're like, well, why is that? Well, like later Jesus explains it. He says, you can't serve two masters, right? Like, you can't love money and God. Like, one will rule you. You can't be someone who loves this world and loves God and his kingdom. Why? Well, because in God's kingdom, there's a king and a ruler. And in this world, there's also a king and a ruler. And if you love this world and you love the kingdom of heaven, you're going to be this person who tries to put one foot in each kingdom. And Jesus says, that doesn't work. You're ultimately going to end up serving one of those two masters, right? And I think some people, when they first come into Salt Company and you first try to figure out this Christianity thing, that's basically what you're doing, right? You're like, well, I've got one foot in the world and I got one foot in the kingdom of God. And you're basically trying to figure out like how long you can go, right? As these things spread apart. It's like that Jean-Claude Van Damme commercial with the buses. You know what I'm talking about? Who's seen this? Raise your hand. Where like he's on two buses and they just start to spread apart, and then he does like the splits in these buses. It's incredible, right? Well, you can't do that, okay? You will get injured if you try to do that with the kingdom of God in the world, okay? You will get a crotch injury and it'll be terrible, okay? You have to go see a doctor, and that'll be the most embarrassing part of your whole life, explaining what's happened, where, yeah, I didn't take Jesus seriously and I injured this region of myself. Guys. Oh man, where are we? Okay, here we are. I got some notes. All right. Guys, you can't, here's one thing you can't do, okay? You cannot pray for the kingdom of God to come to earth without simultaneously also praying against the kingdom and values that are here now. Does that make sense? I'm saying you can't pray, God, bring your kingdom here. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You can't pray that without simultaneously praying against the values, the ways of living of this world. Think about this, okay? Think about what it'd be like to be in a country, but your loyalties, they don't lie with the country that you're in, right? But they lie with another king, right? You don't celebrate the documents, the flag of that country, but your loyalty are actually somewhere else, right? You're loyal to this king that's like coming on the horizon, coming in to conquer this country. And what that means, if that's you, in this situation, Jesus is saying, that's you, Christian. That's the way we're supposed to view the world. And so what would it be like to be in a country like that? Well, it would mean that as you walk through the streets, part of what you're doing in your heart is you're committing treason in your heart all day long. Because when you see the statues, right, of the unjust ruler, the tyrannical dictator kind of over your country, when you walk through the streets and you see his statue in the town square, the thing you're doing in your mind is you're daydreaming about the day when people are going to pull that down with ropes and it's going to shatter on the ground. Right, you see the government buildings there that kind of represent the tyranny and the power that rules over your life, and you daydream of the time when people are going to climb over the fences and overthrow the guards, and these words that are kind of scribbled into stone that kind of represent the authority of the powers that be, you fantasize about the day when those are going to be covered over with spray paint and ammunition. Here's a question. Do you pray like this? Do you pray as an assault against the powers of this world? And I don't mean like the powers of America or like the government or like Trump. No, I mean like the powers of this world. Like the powers of darkness that sit on the throne of earth. When you walk through Iowa City, do you see the world like this? And that's a really real question, right? When you see the idolatry that marks this city, do you respond by praying that those idols would be replaced with Jesus the King? Right, when 70,000 people pack into Kinnick Stadium and they stand in rows and they worship in unison the thing that the God of this age tells them to worship, do you pray for the day when those cement beams will crumble under the weight of a glory that they can't hold? Or do you think that Hawkeye football is just awesome and what happens at Kinnick Stadium is probably one of the coolest things that happens in Iowa City? Like when you see the people dressed to impress, right, walking into the bars of Iowa City, do you get angry? And I don't mean with them. I just mean like with this world, with the brokenness of this world that we live in. When you start to pray this prayer and you start to mean it, I am telling you that your life will change. You won't be able to walk out into the world and view it in the same way you used to, and you won't be able to walk out into the world and view it in the same way that everyone else does. How do you think about the words that fill the songs on the top of all the charts? Right, all the songs that are huge today, how do you think about the words that are in them? Do you find yourself dancing and bouncing your head with the words, or do you find yourself kind of overwhelmed at how far we've fallen as a race of image bearers of God, how ugly we have become that these are the words and the stories that we dance to? How do you think about the scenes that are presented to us in the movies and the shows that we are told that we have to watch? How do you view the way the world spends its money? Does it make you uncomfortable and long for heaven to come? Or does it make you say, man, I wish I could have some more money so I could spend it like that? Do you spend your time on Instagram looking at the bodies and the lives of these people and think in your head, how can I get this for myself? Or do you rage against the ruler of this world that has sold us the lie that these things will make us happy? When you pray like Jesus tells us to pray, you are taking a stand, a deliberate, rebellious, fist in the air stand against the powers of this world. When you pray like Jesus tells you to pray, you are standing up in the middle of that stream and you are saying, no. And I think that this is exactly why many of us rarely ever pray like this. Because this prayer is rebellion, it is subversion, it is treason against the world and its ways, and it is really hard to rebel against the very thing that you're clinging to. This is why part of praying this prayer, it isn't just about where our loyalties lie, but it's actually also about our submission. That's the second thing I want to show you guys. This isn't just a prayer of rebellion, it's a prayer of submission. When you pray for God's kingdom to come, do you know whose kingdom you're praying against? Yours. This is a crazy thing to pray. You can't pray for your kingdom to come on this earth and at the same time pray for God's kingdom to come, right? Because they're completely different things, right? One has you on the throne and one has God on the throne. And one has you as the center of the story where the whole world revolves around you and your dreams and ideas. But the other has God as the center and the whole rest of creation, including you and your story, orienting all around him. And this is awesome. Jesus says, hey, Christian, like you need to learn how to pray. Your prayers kind of suck a lot of the time. Here's how you pray. This is what you should say. You should pray that God's kingdom would come. You should pray that his will would be done, not yours. And this is crazy to think about what it means to actually pray this. And I think that for many of us, a lot of our prayers, they're almost the exact opposite of this most of the time. I'm talking about myself. Like, when I pray, I think so much of the pattern of my prayers is the opposite of this. I pray like this: God, my kingdom come, my will be done, on earth as it is in my head right now, right? It's like, that's how we pray. It's like, God, please, I need this grade. Please, I need this career. God, would you give me a boyfriend? God, help me out here. Would you give me what I'm trying to get in this situation? And basically what we're doing in that moment is we're saying, Jesus, here's the kingdom I'm trying to build. Would you help me out with this? We're saying, Jesus, here's the will that I have for my life in this situation. Would you make that happen? And then Jesus, he gives us a prayer that's the exact opposite of that. It's like the exact opposite of like the normal thing we come to God and pray for. He's like, here's what you should do. Pray the exact opposite of that. Like, don't pray for that at all. Instead, you should pray, Father, God, my Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. You're asking God, you're saying, would you become king in my life? You're saying, would you take me off the throne of my heart and put yourself there instead? When you pray that, you're saying, hey, I'm about to say a bunch of other stuff, but what I'm really asking you is to not listen to my will and my desires, but instead, will you just accomplish your will for my life? That's a really radical thing to pray. It really is. It's awesome that this is what God has us pray before we ask him for anything else. Right, next week we're going to talk about daily bread. And so there's going to be this sense in which God's like, no, I want you to come to me with your needs and your desires. Like, I want you, like, come to me if you're hungry. I'm your provider. But it's like, before you ask me for anything, before you talk to me about anything you need, first ask me to take your kingdom away from you and replace it with mine. First ask me to deny your will and your ideas and your dreams and replace them with my will for your life. Have you ever asked God to do that? Like, really, have you ever prayed that part of the Lord's Prayer, like, seriously? I'm telling you that praying this part of the Lord's Prayer regularly, over and over and over again, it has changed my life. And I know that it will change yours too. But don't treat this lightly, right? Because here's the crazy part about this. God will answer it. Like, that's the scariest part of this prayer. It's like, if you pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in your life, he will actually answer that prayer, yes. And not just big picture, like in the whole world. Like, he's going to do that. But he'll answer that prayer specifically in your life. And the question is whether you're going to be the kind of person that'll be ready for that or not. And so that's why the third part of this prayer is not just rebellion, it's not just submission, but it's preparation. It's preparation. Do you know what the greatest enemy to the kingdom of God coming into your life is? Stop, think. What's the greatest enemy? The greatest enemy that you have to the kingdom of God coming into your life. It isn't anything outside of you. It isn't some group of friends. It isn't a relationship. It isn't the party scene. And it isn't even the money that's going to flood into your life when you graduate. It is your pride. It's your pride. The greatest wall that exists to God's kingdom coming into your life is actually you. It is your kingdom and it is your will. and it is you thinking that you know what is best for you and for the world. And this is what's awesome. Like, Jesus knows this. He knows that that's the biggest barrier in your life. He knows that that's going to be the single thing that would keep you out of the kingdom of God. He knows that's going to be the biggest wall that's going to be a hindrance from him coming in and fixing what's broken in you. And so he gives us this prayer. His prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and maybe you haven't noticed this, but every single line in the Lord's Prayer is meant to humble you in some way as you pray it. Every single line. As you pray over and over again, that's what it does. It humbles you. But this line in particular, right? For people who've spent their entire lives trying to build their kingdom and have spent most of their time in prayer asking God to help them do that, God tells them to pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in my world, as it is in your heaven. Praying this prayer day by day in your life, it will shape you into the kind of person who responds rightly when God actually does these things. Okay? That's why I'm saying this thing is like a riddle, and it's like you get to the end of it and it goes back to the beginning, and it just keeps spinning on its head. What I'm saying is this: when you pray this prayer day by day, praying that prayer will shape you into the kind of person who will respond rightly when God actually answers that prayer. Because there's going to be many times in your life, some of them small, some of them traumatic, some of them earth-shaking, when God is going to do what you've asked him to do, when he's going to answer this prayer. You'll pray for the kingdom of God to come and for his will to be done, and he will do it. He will answer that prayer. And at times, the way that God will do this will be unbelievably painful. You pray, God, your kingdom come. And then you get injured and you can't play college baseball and you can't have the dream you wanted. You pray for God's kingdom to come and then you get Lyme's disease and you can't do the job and the career that you've wanted your whole life. The question is, how will we respond when God's kingdom and God's kingdom values start to break into our lives? Jesus says that it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, right? So how will you respond when you lose your job and you're forced to sell your house and your things and move into a smaller place? Is that chaos and terror that's all of a sudden crept into your story, or is that God in his grace answering the prayer you've been praying? Jesus says that the first will be last and the last will be first. So how will you respond when Jesus puts you in last place in the thing that you've been trying to be first in? Jesus says that it's those who are broken and hurting and poor in spirit. Those are the kind of people who inherit the kingdom of heaven. So how do you respond when things in your life start to make you into that kind of person? Well, if you've been praying the Lord's Prayer and it's shaped your life, then you know how to respond. You'll say, thank you, Father, for answering my prayers. Thank you for this earthquake in my life. Thank you for caring enough about me to wound me, if that would mean shaping me into the kind of person that can receive your kingdom. If our lives are like standing on a shore, then the trials of our lives are like waves that are coming at us from a distance. And you can't see what kind of waves these are going to be, right? You're standing and you see a wave coming in. You're like, I don't know if this is going to, like, you know, hit my ankles, or like this is going to destroy my village. Like, I can't tell from here what this is going to be. Praying the Lord's Prayer and praying for God to bring his kingdom and his will from heaven into your life and into your world, it will make you the kind of person that will be prepared for whatever the wave is like. I mean this so seriously tonight, guys. You need this part of the Lord's Prayer. You need this. Spurgeon, he was a man who knew what suffering was like, and he says it like this. He says, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. It's a prayer of preparation, but it's also a prayer of expectation. One of the coolest things about the Lord's Prayer, and I really think about this line in particular, is that you're not praying things that you don't know if they're going to happen, right? You know this is going to happen. Like, what are you praying for? You're saying, God, like, bring your kingdom to earth. And he's like, yep, doing that. God, your will be done. And he's like, yep, my will is the thing that's being orchestrated and done in the entire world. You're like, God, would you bring heaven to earth? And he's like, yeah, I've done that. And I'm going to do that in its fullness. This isn't just a prayer of like hope. This isn't just a prayer of longing. This is a prayer of expectation. That when you go out into the world and you see brokenness and you see injustice and you see parts of your life, whether it's like a piece of crap van that pisses you off or like your mom getting cancer, like whatever end of the spectrum it is, when suffering comes into your life, you don't pray this prayer just as hope and you don't pray this prayer just as longing. You pray this prayer as expectation and assurance, knowing that there is a day coming where this kingdom will be done with and God's kingdom will come. Like, that's true. That's happening. Jesus isn't in the grave and we're not standing around hoping that someday he will rise again. No, he rose again. We're not sitting on earth hoping that someday heaven will come down. Heaven came down. His name was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the man from heaven. And we know with rock solid assurance that he's going to come back someday. And every tear in our eyes, it'll be wiped away. And everything that is wrong will be made right. And every part of our stories that is hard and difficult and brutal, and even the waves that crash in our lives, we know that every single part of this is leading us to the very first chapter of the final part of this story. That's actually the beginning chapter of the real world, where everything is good, where Jesus is on his throne, where evil is overturned. Right at the end of the Lord's Prayer, God, deliver us from evil. That's going to happen. And so when you pray this prayer, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, I hope that you become a rebel. I hope that this is not a room filled with people who just stand in line and just march to the beat of the drum of this world. But I hope that as you pray this prayer, God, bring your kingdom here. God, bring your will to bear on this world. God, would you do that in such a way that the things that are true in heaven become true here? I pray that as you pray that, that becomes like the anthem of your life. And that we wouldn't just be people who walk around the world kind of apathetic and kind of uncaring, but we'd walk around the world and we would be like rebels in God's army and we would be ticked off at the injustice of the world. But I hope that as you pray this, you become the kind of person that doesn't deal with injustice like the rest of the world, just filled with rage and anger at who knows what. But you'd be the kind of person that submits themselves under the Lordship of Jesus and says, you know what? I'm part of this problem too. And I don't need to get on the throne. I don't need my will to be done to fix this situation. I need your will to be done, not just out there, but in here. And I pray that as you pray this prayer, you would be the kind of person that over and over, day by day, you are shaped into someone who is ready for what it means for the kingdom of God to come into your life. That you'd be the kind of person who develops the character and the humility necessary to bear the weight of what it means for God's will to be done in your life. And I pray that you'd be Christians who are filled with expectation. Not just hope, but assurance that every day you pray this prayer, Jesus is bringing heaven one step closer to earth. And we are one step closer to not going home, but to this world finally being able to look at it and say, now we are home. Let's pray. Jesus, your kingdom come. We pray that you would bring your rule and your reign into our lives. God, we think about Iowa City, and God, we love this city. We love it like strangers who are longing for a different world. But God, we love this city because this is where we're at right now. God, we love the people that are in this city. We love the professors that are in this city. But God, we recognize that we're not home yet. And so, Jesus, we pray for your kingdom to come. God, we see that the way that alcohol is abused in this city. And God, for those of us in the room that have been part of that tragedy, God, we repent. And we say, would you bring your kingdom in our lives? God, we pray just against the way that this world abuses people sexually, emotionally, physically. God, we pray against that. We hate that. God, it's part of the brokenness of this world, and we hate it because we see people that are made in the image of God that are the focus of this abuse. And Jesus, would you forgive us for any of the ways that we've been part of that problem? Jesus, bring your kingdom to bear here in Iowa City. God, bring your kingdom to bear on some of the far places of the world. God, I think of just what's happening on the western edge of China right now, of Christians and people who love you who are being thrown in prison and treated horribly and killed. And Jesus, I pray that your kingdom would come there. God, I'm sick of this world. I'm so tired of the injustice. And I'm so tired of being part of the injustice. So Jesus, we pray that you'd bring your will. God, we let go of our dreams and our wills and our desire to plan out our lives. And we just say, Jesus, bring your kingdom here. Would your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus, teach us how to live this out, that we would be your subversive agents in this world gone wrong, that we would be these warriors who are spreading propaganda, this message of a new king who's on the horizon, these telling people about these ships that are just about to pierce the edge of the horizon as they're coming to conquer our evil king. And Jesus, when you come back, we want to be ready. And Jesus, when those waves come that are going to slam us into the rock of ages, those answers to that prayer that are going to shape us and maybe even wound us in the process, Jesus, make us into the kind of people that are ready for that. Make us children who are ready to receive your kingdom when it comes.